Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back for the last 25 minutes of Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Tim with Walker and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Hey, folks, before we jump in here to the news again, I want to remind you that we're going to Israel in March, March 12th through the 20th, and that is like coming up 9 months from now, whatever. But we're already taking registrations, and people are signing up. So if you've been waiting to go to the Holy Land, you want to take a look at our trip. There are a lot of people that go to the Holy Land, a lot of tour groups. So maybe someone else's is for you, but if you want to take a look at ours, it's 9 days leaving New York, March the 12th. So go to the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com is the website. All the information is there. Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Dead Sea, Masada, Nazareth, Sea of Galilee, the Garden Tomb, Calvary. We see all those places and more, the Western Wall or the Wailing Wall, all those places. So if you want to go with us, again, we're leaving March 12th to the 20th. I go in March because generally nice weather there in Israel. TWHolyLand.com is the website, TWHolyLand.com. Steve Jordahl, what you got?
Good morning. Hey, you know we've been talking about all these pro-life laws that have been passing. Some of them are heartbeat laws. In some cases, they're almost outright bans on all abortions. Mm-hmm. We have now some state's attorneys general and prosecutors, district attorneys, that are deciding that they're just going to ignore those laws if they come up in their states. Now, it's kind of interesting to say that a lot of these states, in fact, pretty much all of them, are states that aren't entertaining these laws. In other words, the Mississippi attorney general and prosecutors aren't saying this, but... the signatories include district attorneys from several states, 11 attorneys general from California, Vermont, Delaware, Massachusetts, Nevada, which I think did pass one of those laws, Maryland, Michigan, Washington, D.C., Illinois, yeah. Oregon, and Pennsylvania. They're just going to out and out ignore the law.
Well, they have no laws to ignore in those states.
No, but it is a warning shot across the bow of trying to get rid of Roe v. Wade, because then all those things refer back to states. And
yeah,
I think that's for show for I don't know who, because
right.
those states you mentioned have not passed strict pro-life bills.
Right, right.
Laws.
It does show, though, you know, it's probably just a PR stunt for the left, but it is, you know, we've seen it is important who's in the position of prosecutor. Whether it be the Attorney General's Office of the United States or even at state and local levels, your district attorneys, your prosecutors. We saw Kimberly Fox with the Jussie Smollett case. She just fumbled that thing and justice wasn't served. So you have to really, you know, those offices and who holds them is important when it comes to it.
Yeah, you know, if you can't do your job because you have a conviction about something, I mean, conviction not in the legal sense, but a moral, internal reason for not wanting to do something, then just resign and do something else, I would say.
Yeah,
or
appoint someone else.
Yeah, if you don't have a case for not doing what you're supposed to do legally otherwise.
Right.
But, all right.
Yeah. We have a voice and a face and a name from the past is resurrecting on Capitol Hill. The House wants to call John Dean of Watergate fame, the ex-felon who was caught up in the Watergate scandal. They want him to testify.
Not James Dean.
No, John Dean.
James is
long-lost, not relative.
Okay.
But no, this is James Dean, who was a lawyer for the Nixon White House. And they want
I got
him.
You said James Dean. I meant John Dean.
Did I say James Dean?
You did. Yeah, because I
John Dean.
I introduced the name James Dean into the conversation.
Yes. Let's be clear. It's John Dean. This is the Watergate figure, the Nixon figure. And then the Democrats are bringing him back.
Really?
Why are they doing this? Well, because he is critical of President Trump, and he can kind of set the stage as they go down this investigation and compare maybe what obstruction looked like in the Richard Nixon case. And then Democrats will make the case that he will probably help them make the case that you can make obstruction cases with President Trump. It was an interesting, had an interesting conversation on Fox and Friends this morning. They had with Dan Bongino, who's a former police officer and Secret Service guy, but really smart. And this is what he said is happening with this John Dean thing.
The Democrats really rack it up on the winners list that they use for their character people. You had Michael Cohen, who can't seem to tell the truth about anything. John Dean, a former felon. They don't have anything. It's an act. What they're trying to do is to distract you from the fact that the Mueller probe is completely collapsing its credibility. There were a lot of breaks that happened this week that you probably didn't hear about if you're not watching this network. We found out that the John Dowd, Trump's lawyer, voicemail to Mike Flynn was edited to make it seemed nefarious when it wasn't. We found out that one of Mueller's informants on the Trump team was just arrested on child pornography charges. And we found out that one of Paul Manafort's alleged Russian contacts was really a State Department contact under the Obama administration. But one more thing, they're also hiding this now what appears to be massive spying scandal by the Obama administration due to some reporting on this own network we know may have started a lot earlier with Mike Flynn before Trump was even running.
Wow.
So a lot of stuff you're not hearing. We are expecting some reports. The Inspector General of the Justice Department is due out in about a couple of weeks?
Yeah, should be any day now.
A report that talks about what his findings are regarding how the Russia-Trump whole investigation got started. And then, of course, there are other investigations ongoing along those lines anyway. But you won't hear it to the mainstream media, and the Democrats are trying to do everything they can to obfuscate and distract from those things.
Yeah, there are multiple things that happened under the Obama administration beyond the origins of the Russia investigation. I mean, remember we have, what was the Fox News reporter who was spied on by the White House?
James Rosen?
I think they were tapped his phone call.
Who was James Rosen?
Rosen, yeah. And that happened to some AP reporters and stuff, and these were not right-wing reporters. These were AP, some mainstream reporters. So, but that kind of, where did that story go? I mean, that's could have been illegal. And then you have the unmasking that Susan Rice did via Samantha Powers, the U.S. Ambassador. And so all these scandals that went on under Obama, and a lot of them don't get much traction anymore.
Yeah, Tim, Walker has not been listening to our former vice president, who was of late saying that there were no scandals in the Obama administration.
Is that what Biden's saying?
Yes, he did, not too long ago. Uncle Joe said, I'm so proud of the fact that there were no scandals under the Obama administration. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to make it. I really don't. I don't think I could be wrong.
As far as in the Democrat process?
Yeah, I know he's the front runner. I'm talking about former Vice President Joe Biden, but between his age and he's just not as sharp and as articulate as he once was. Whether you agree with his politics or not, the guy was pretty smooth operator as far as
a very hands-on politician. Yeah, now
he plagiarized. Yeah, he plagiarized, no, and he had intended. And I got that. That's good. And he is sort of creepy with his way. His
shoulder rubs.
Yeah, that kind of thing with women and girls and stuff, but I'm just saying that, and he's going to be hit from the left.
Being hit from the left.
All these other candidates like Bernie Sanders and Mayor Pete, who you pronounce his name, but I'm not going to try.
That's fine. Yeah.
Mayor Pete or whatever, and these others, they're going to be firing at the king of the hill. They're going to be trying to bring him down so they can be king of the hill. And so that's going to do some damage. And I just don't think, I don't know that Biden can handle that.
So who do you think is going to be facing President Trump?
I don't know. You know, this is going to be a big.
Yeah.
Most people would say, well, of course it's going to be Biden. And I'm just saying, I'm not so sure about that right now at this point. I think he's got a lot of the lead that he has in that field because of his name recognition. And because some people who would say that Bernie Sanders, they'd be Democrats, but they would say Bernie Sanders is not electable. And so I want somebody who can beat Trump.
Hmm.
That's what a lot of Democrats are thinking, I think. Don't you?
Yeah, I think so. There's 20-something candidates in the race. Everyone but Biden is aimed their political gun at Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants Biden out so one of them can take his place. And it's going to stay that way. This is always the case in primaries. The front runner in the primary is taking shots from everyone, circular firing squad. And so Biden, if he keeps taking shots like this, he's going to be out. And then that leaves Bernie and a few others right behind him.
Remember, you heard it here first.
I'm writing this down, by the way.
Okay, if you haven't, now maybe somebody else has suggested this and I just haven't heard it in the media or whatever. But I think a person that has not announced on the Democrat side, and there are only six left on planet Earth.
That's right.
that have not announced. I think, seriously, the one person who could potentially be the winner of the Democrat Party nomination is the governor of California.
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom. He's the governor of California. California is the largest state in the U.S. Obviously, they are solidly left wing in their politics, talking about California on a state level. And so he checks all the boxes, it seems to me, except for the fact that he's a white male, which hurts him among some Democrats. I think he's a name of a person who could come out. Let maybe say he announced in a month from now, and then he shoots to the front of the pack. That's
right.
What I'm saying.
So his policies, I believe, are as liberal as anybody's.
Yes.
On the left side of the ultra-left of the Democrat Party. He is just, in fact, I don't know if you talked about this, but he's getting ready to sign a law make allowances so that illegal aliens in California can get health coverage. And I'm sure that those kind of policies would follow him to the White House. Is he electable?
In the primary, I would say.
No, I'm talking about it in the general against Trump.
Well, that's a tough question. I don't know. We're going to find out, I guess, just how left-wing our country is.
Yeah.
Our country as a whole is, but with the next election cycle, because everybody pretty well knows President Trump now, 4 years. It will be 4 years, and so... Are there enough people who say, no, I don't want what President Trump's been doing. I want a left-winger in the White House.
Yeah, and it is going to be interesting. One angle is that, you know, the left is pushing, the base of the Democrat Party is far, far left. Socialist, Marxist, government control from the top to the bottom. They're pushing the party, the candidates to the left on every issue. It's going to be interesting to see whoever the candidate is in the general. You know, usually in the general, they try to go back towards the center a little bit, at least. But is the base going to allow that?
Yeah.
Are they going to allow a, quote, moderate to run?
It seems to me that they have about 100 litmus tests. You have to be this on this. Did we talk about on Thursday, or had it happened that Joe Biden had reversed himself on the Mexico City policy?
Tell our listeners what that is and what happened.
So the Mexico City policy is a piece of, it was an amendment, actually it wasn't the Mexico City, I take that back, it's the Hyde Amendment.
Yeah.
Henry Hyde, back in the 70s, had written this piece of legislation. What it says is that taxpayer funds cannot be used for abortions. Whether it's legal or not, or whatever other things you put on it, we don't want general taxpayer money going towards it. And goodness knows, Planned Parenthood doesn't need that anyway.
And we've had bipartisan support down through the decades.
It was. And Joe Biden was one of the leaders of that. And
he's Catholic.
He says he's Catholic. He would say because of his strong faith, while he was open to a woman all choosing all that kind of stuff, he didn't want taxpayers to pay. But he got hit hard over the weekend when he came out and someone asked him, someone from I think it was from the ACLU, a lawyer, asked him if he would get rid of the Hyde Amendment, and he waffled a little bit, said yes and then no, and then his campaign put out a statement that says, no, we support the Hyde Amendment, we're not changing on that, trying to take at least a moderate position, conservative position for Democrats. Mm-hmm. But he got hammered, and so he changed his mind over the weekend. He said, well, I used to be against it, but now that all these pro-life laws are going into pass, I am now for abolishing the Hyde Amendment and making taxpayers pay for abortions. So even Biden, who is trying to carve out this middle ground, even Biden is getting pushed to the left.
But then didn't he come out after all that over the weekend and kind of bounce back towards supporting the Hyde Amendment?
Well, it is a tennis match. I don't know where he's at.
We
should look up what happened in the last 10 minutes because it might have changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be that Democrats who did support abortion rights, they would call them. Most of the Democrats were still in favor of not having the government pay for abortions through tax dollars, obviously. But now that's changing, where most Democrats believe that taxpayers should have to pay for people's abortions, and the abortions should be through the full 9 months of pregnancy.
Yes.
That's how extreme the Democrat Party is on abortion. Mm-hmm. And all of them are having to agree to that position, or the far left Democrats in the party go after them. That's what happened to Joe Biden. And yep. So you know, if you're a person that you don't have strong convictions, and I don't think Joe Biden does.
Well, the strongest conviction is he wants to be president.
That's what I mean. He's open to waffling.
Evolving, as Obama called it.
Evolving. Yeah. Now, some would say, well, Donald Trump did this the other way. He was once pro-abortion, they would call themselves pro-choice, for most of his adult life.
Yeah.
And then he said he became pro-life. Now, some would say, so what's the difference? You're criticizing Biden, but Trump did the same thing. I don't buy that for this reason. I think somebody can be pro-choice, if that's what they want to call it, while not fully understanding that this is a human life, all right? And then they can see maybe a 3D ultrasound, or in President Trump's case, he said that he saw the birth of a baby that was potentially going to be aborted.
Yes.
Of somebody he knew. He didn't say who it was. Mm-hmm. And that basically he had a moment where he realized, hey, whoa, this is a human life.
Yeah.
And that's when he said he changed to being pro-life. So I think it's reasonable that somebody can be pro-choice, then realize, whoa, it's a human life, and then become pro-life. To go from being pro-life, and not that Joe Biden was ever pro-life, but pro-life to the point at least where he didn't want taxpayers paying for abortion. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To go from pro-life to being pro-choice, it doesn't seem to me what would cause you to do that. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. What kind of revelation would cause you to say, well, I know I once thought it was a human life, but I don't think it is anymore. Well, people just don't gravitate to that position.
In Joe Biden's case, he decided that because women's right over bodily autonomy is his rationale, the way he termed it, because that was under threat, that's why he said he was going to change his position to a pro.
Let me ask you this, Steve, on this question of abortion, and Walker, you chime in too here. The people who are pro-choice or pro-abortion, they would call themselves pro-choice.
Right.
They say, you know, that nobody has a right to tell a woman to do with her body.
Right.
Nobody has a right to tell a woman what to do with her body. They also call it reproductive rights. That's the phrase they use.
Yes.
Do you think they really believe Well, they obviously, they believe that, and then if you say to them, well, what about the rights of the unborn baby? What do they say to that?
There are very few who believe that an unborn child is a human being and a person and still believe in the pro-choice. There are some, but there are very few. What they do is they excuse it by saying, well, it's not a baby until it takes its first breath, or it's not a baby until the mother wants it to be a baby. They rationalize and excuse the life away. They have to, with those few exceptions, they have to do that.
They might say that the mother has control. It's her. Right. The baby is in her body.
So that supersedes the right of the child.
Yes. So the mother has the right to whether the baby should live or not.
Well, that's, again, I don't agree with that morally by any means, but that's logical in a way to say,
I could see how they could make
it's
that
consistent
argument.
If unscientific.
Yeah. If you want to say, well, the whatever is inside of the woman is dependent on the woman for life, therefore the right of the woman supersedes whatever is inside her. We know what's inside her. I'm pro-life completely, and I think it's completely immoral to abort a unborn baby, and it's sin, quite frankly, but according to God. But I'm just saying, I'm trying to think like the other side does to rationalize why they could be for abortion.
Yeah, and it seems that that what we're seeing happen with Joe Biden, the candidate, and other Democrats, and even President Obama, this happened to him on the marriage issue, is deep down, there's a struggle they face. What gets me elected, and what do I really believe? And right now, it is, we're getting to what they really believe. And I think deep down in Joe Biden's heart of hearts, he probably didn't really care that much about the Hyde Amendment, but what would get me elected? Supporting the Hyde Amendment. For President Barack
Obama.
Especially
since he claimed to be Catholic.
Yeah, for President Barack Obama, what would get me elected? Saying that I still believe marriage is between one man and one woman. You get elected, the truth comes out. Well, really, I think anybody should be able to get married after you're in the Oval Office.
I do believe that with Obama. I do remember there was a time back in the Democrat history in the 90s when there were actually real pro-life Democrats.
Yeah.
And I might be mistaken, but Joe Biden might have been one where they really weren't. They were for pro-life laws, and they were against abortion, but it was before it was this litmus test.
It's reversed now.
Right.
It's what will get me elected in 2019. Well, Planned Parenthood said they will not endorse Biden in the general if he's for the Hyde Amendment.
And the other thing that strikes me is that you can talk yourself into really honestly believing something if you need it bad enough.
Sure.
In other words, I don't think that every time they say, well, I believe a baby isn't a human being and that I believe that you should have abortion on demand, that they say to themselves in their inner speech that I'm lying. I think they talk themselves into honestly believing it.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in God, I can see how you would say that I don't. You could say I don't care whether it's a human being or not. The woman's rights.
Yeah.
See how tricky that is.
Yeah.
The woman's rights supersede that of whatever it is growing inside of them. You want to call it a baby? Well, I'm gonna call it a baby, but I don't believe in God, so there I don't believe that the baby has any inherent value.
Yes.
Right? Whereas a Christian, or maybe other religions too, but certainly a Christian would say the baby is in creating an image of God, and to kill it is immoral, is sinful, and God is pro-life. And so that's the divide that exists there. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Brent Creeley ran the controls for us. We thank him today. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net. Have a great day, everybody.